Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
What's going on, everyone? Jurassic Views, Ottawa's Raptors podcast. Bryce Diamond, post-Arsenal Champions League draw. Wow. I don't think I felt as exhausted after a game. After watching the Arsenal game yesterday, which went to extra time, which went to penalties. Arsenal winning in penalties to seal their berth in the quarterfinals of the Champions League for the first time in 14 years, 2010. I don't think I've been that exhausted since the Raptors' 2019 championship run. It was emotional. It was infuriating at times because of the play of the other team. Tell me you're not as good as Arsenal without telling me you're not as good as Arsenal. It was just really, really bad. People call it the dark arts. I'm not about that. Play football. Play football on your feet. Play with heart. Play together. Play with good tactics, strategy, and hope the best team wins. I'm more of a guy like that. The Marcus Smart type nonsense, the Joel Embiid type nonsense. You guys have heard it all before. It transfers. It translates from one sport to the next. And Arsenal were by far the better team. Bigger, stronger, faster, more skillful. They got a goal to tie it up. 1-1. Porto had scored in the first game. So you combine the two scores of the two games. And the team with the with more goals wins. Unless they're tied, they go to extra time. And in this case, it was 1-1 after the two games, even though a goal by Arsenal was disallowed. I thought that was quite harsh, knowing how the referee called the game in general. But Arsenal was able to do it in penalties. Magnificently done by both the four kick takers for Arsenal. All of them scored. And then David Raya, the goalkeeper for Arsenal, was fantastic. He actually saved two of the four shots and had his hand on one of the balls and just couldn't get enough of his hand or enough force to push it away from the net. But none of y'all came here to Jurassic Views to hear me talk about this Arsenal team. None of you. None of you wanted me to talk about football, so I will not do so. I know that with the Raptors season pretty much done, unfortunately, speaking of done, Chris Boucher injured his MCL. That will be it for his season. There's only 17, 18 games left in the season for most teams in the league. The Toronto Raptors have 17 games left. So it's not like there is a lot to play for. The Raps are well out of the play-in, six games back of the Hawks, six and a half. So they virtually have no chance. I mean, mathematically, they're still in it. But with the Raptors out, you know, I obviously have other sports that I watch, other teams that I support in those sports. And when the Kansas City Chiefs go all the way, win back-to-back titles, that's a big deal. When the Arsenal are playing fantastic, top of the table in the Premier League and getting to the final eight teams in world football, you got to feel pretty good. You know, I got lucky. Zai and I have talked about some of the gloomy days of the Raptors, some of the dark days where it just felt hopeless for the team. Arsenal never got that low, but they had their difficult season, their difficult stretch of seasons from 2018 till about 2021, and then slowly but surely 2022, then last year 2023, and of course this year they have definitely turned things around. In respect to Kansas City, obviously, they had a huge lull and then would get to the playoffs and completely lose. And then this guy named Patrick Mahomes got drafted. And Kansas City's future and of course, present right now is very different. It's amazing what a legendary quarterback. A guy who probably, if he follows this trajectory that he's on, a guy who's likely to be the second greatest quarterback of all time. And then who knows about his yards and that, but he's on pace for, you know, 5 or 6 Super Bowls. So we have the second most Super Bowls won of all time. He's on pace for the greatest playoff quarterback rating of all time. Obviously his teams, you know, may get better, may get worse as the next 7, 8, 9 years unfolds. His coach is getting older. I think Andy Reid is 63 or 64, maybe 64. So he's only got, 3 or 4 more seasons left. But it's a special thing when you can follow your team and they're winning. And in the Arsenal's, way of winning, and you know, Zion and I have talked about this, Courtney and I have talked about this a lot. We really respect who the players are and what they do on and off the court or field, what kind of teammates they're like, what kind of people they're like, what kind of community members they're like. And Arsenal are class acts. They really are. And they have a great bond as teammates on and off the pitch. And it's special to watch. So for me, I'm pretty excited as I drink from my Arsenal mug, some hot water or silver tea, as one of my friends had told me before, their family calls it. But we're here to talk about basketball, and the NBA is really looking interesting. I would not have predicted much of this season happening. You never want to predict injuries because that just sucks. Joel Embiid getting injured just before the All-Star break really sucks. And this is a team that has gone from being in the top 3 in the Eastern Conference, something that they have done pretty much for like 5 or 6 seasons now. 2019, they were... the 76ers, I believe, were a 3 seed that year because they played Toronto in the second round. We all know that series. But yeah, this is like 6 seasons in a row where the 76ers have been in the top 3 in the Eastern Conference. And they were poised to make another playoff run. New coach, Tyrese Maxey taking a huge stride. Embiid playing like the MVP, and here he's injured. So that's terrible. When he'll return is unknown, but that's completely unpredictable. To have a guy like Karl Anthony Towns go through a similar injury and seems like similar surgery to Joel Embiid with the meniscus in his knee, that's terrible. Not predicted. But we wouldn't have predicted that this Minnesota Timberwolves team would be in the top 3 in the Eastern Conference. I would have said, you know, maybe the Timberwolves sneak into 6th in the West. They're currently 3rd, of course, at the All-Star break. Chris Finch was the coach for the Western Conference. He had the best record. His team had the best record in the Western Conference. That's unpredictable. The OKC Thunder still right now on top of the Western Conference, same record as the Denver Nuggets. So this has been a really wild year. The Lakers and Golden State really haven't been able to figure it out for long stretches, although you would imagine that in a 7-game series, you know, all they have to do is go 4-3. In a play-in, all they have to do is go 1-0, and they move on to the next round of the play-in or into the playoffs. And so that was a bit unpredictable, but not out of the realm of possibility, but unpredictable. You know, even the Toronto Raptors. Did people pick the Toronto Raptors to be 11th? I don't think so. Ninth, maybe. Seventh, perhaps, you could see. Likely not six, but maybe. Maybe they sneak into the sixth spot, people would have said before the season. But instead, it's the Orlando Magic who have surprised people. It's the Indiana Pacers who are surprising people. And they have Pascal Siakam on their team. Orlando sits fifth. Pacers are sixth. And now with the 76ers struggling, 4-6 in their last 10, without Joel Embiid, who knows? The Sixers might fall to the 8th seed. It might be the Pacers going past the Magic and maybe even catching the Knicks, because the Knicks have had lots of injuries with Julius Randle and OG Anunoby, another Raptor. Again, not predicted during the season, maybe predicted in the offseason that they would be on other teams than the Raptors. And then there's the Cleveland Cavaliers, who had injuries near the start of the season. I think it was sometime around Christmas. They lose Evan Mobley, and they lose Darius Garland. And wouldn't you know it, this team rips off like 10 out of 11 games, 12 out of or 13 out of 15, like just a ridiculous stretch when they had those injuries. And now Donovan Mitchell has missed a few more games, and they've struggled in their 5-5. But it's been all over the place. Doc Rivers coaching the Milwaukee Bucks, coming in halfway or maybe 2/3 of the way through the season. No one would have predicted that, and nor would any of anyone suggested that that be a good idea to bring in Doc Rivers with the Milwaukee Bucks, although they're playing better basketball now. After going 3-7 to start Doc Rivers' tenure with the Milwaukee Bucks, they're now 7-3, and they've rallied, and they're looking a little more composed, cohesive, and they're building some chemistry as they make a run toward the playoffs. And I think for the fans of the Milwaukee Bucks, that they would make a run in the playoffs as well. Probably the only two predictable things, and likely the teams that people would say are favored to go to the NBA Finals, have been the Boston Celtics and the Denver Nuggets. Boston is the best team by far in the NBA, with the best record. They've won 3 in a row. They're 8-2 since the All-Star break. They're 51-14. They've been excellent this season. Likely to win the Eastern Conference, although we don't know, you know, what they look like in the fourth quarter when things get tense, when they have to go against possibly Jimmy Butler and the Heat in the first round, possibly against a healthy Knicks team or a Bucks team that's figured it out, maybe even a Cavs team that finds all their guys healthy and all the synergy and peak play coming, aligning all together at the right time. Who knows? But right now, the Celtics look like they will be headed back to the finals with the way they're playing. Obviously, basketball to be played, but the way they're playing, that's the trend. That's what's trending, the Celtics to go to the NBA Finals. In the Western Conference, at the Denver Nuggets, they're 9-1 since the All-Star break. They've won their last three games. They're 45-20. They seemed to do the reverse of what they did last year. They coasted through the first half of this season like they did the second half of last season, and now have turned it up. They were actually down to the Toronto Raptors by 22 with a Toronto Raptors team that did not have Gary Trent Jr., Scottie Barnes, Jakob Poeltl, or Bruce Brown, I believe, although don't quote me on that. Maybe it was somebody else. Maybe Emmanuel Quickley. But regardless, four starters not in the lineup for them against the Nuggets. They went up 22, and then the Nuggets slowly but surely began to take more and more advantages, began to show their pedigree, their championship brass, and close that game out quite well, and really controlled the last 5-6 minutes of the game, which is crunch time, which is clutch time. And that's where the Denver Nuggets have dominated. In this stretch of games, they've also beaten Boston again. They're 2-0 against Boston. But I think it's safe to say most people would predict, most people would say that they are the favorites in the West, and that a Nuggets-Celtics finals is the most likely final. Whether it happens or not is a whole other story, but it's the most likely final. This has been a good year. And when you look toward what playoff matchups could happen, you're just kind of left scratching your head in amazement. I mean, there is a high probability that the Miami Heat will host the Philadelphia 76ers in a play-in game. I would have said the 76ers would be third and the Heat would be fourth or fifth in the regular season. Right now, it's the Sixers seventh and the Heat eighth, and the Heat have the same amount of losses as the Sixers, and there's no Joel Embiid for the 76ers, and there probably won't be for at least two, if not three or four more weeks. Who knows what Joel Embiid will be like when the playoffs even start, if he'll be healthy, if he'll be able to play, if he'll want to play, if the Sixers will want him to play. It's really tough to say. But that could be what happens in the 7-8 play-in game. You have the New York Knicks. They could be playing a young, surging Orlando Magic team or another surging Indiana Pacers team. And that would be great for basketball. Small markets battling in a 4-5 game. I certainly think it would be amazing to see the Knicks versus the Celtics in the second round. I really would be excited about that. The Bucks-Cavs in a second round game could be special. But then you could have the Heat playing the Bucks in the first round. You could have the Heat playing the Celtics. You could have a healthy Joel Embiid with the 76ers playing the Boston Celtics or the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, the possibilities of what could be in the first round are pretty mind-blowing, really. In the West, the same thing is true. You could have the Nuggets and Kings in the 2-7 game, but you could also have the Nuggets versus the Lakers or Warriors. What a matchup that would be. You could have LeBron versus Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Thunder. Talk about young versus old in that game. Legends versus newcomers to the scene of the playoffs. You could have the Clippers versus the Pelicans, kind of a similar NBA favorite to maybe upset the Nuggets. But you could also have the Clippers versus the Suns, two teams who are quite old or well-experienced, you could say. Two teams that expected to be at least in the second round, and one of them likely, if not both of them, hoping that they'd face the Nuggets in a conference final. So many possibilities, and the league has got to this point where there is so much parity, and it really comes down, as we've said so many times, to how durable, how healthy you are. And the, you know, health is one of those things that's it's a bit of luck. Health can also be something that's predicted. And it really makes things interesting. But to me, there's no asterisks. It's part of the game. The game of basketball, the season of the NBA is a grind. The season of basketball is something you must endure. And if you don't have the endurance, you don't have the durability, guess what? You don't get to play in the biggest games when it comes to the spring in the playoffs. You just don't. And there's a lot of question marks about the Phoenix Suns. Even though Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker are now all healthy, there's been very few games. I think they've played 10 games together this season. But who knows what's going to happen with them, if they'll be healthy or not. The Clippers are the same. They've been healthy. Kawhi has been healthy this year. For the most part, James Harden has been healthy. But then you got Russell Westbrook, who has been injured for 20 games this season. Paul George has been injured for 20 plus games this season. What Clippers team is going to show up in that first round? Which Clippers team is going to finish the first round? Tough to say. The Nuggets have looked extremely durable. So too have the Thunder. But is it possible that they may face an injury? Should we say, you know, excuse them should they lose in the first or second round because of an injury? No, it's part of the game. It sucks. And it really is luck. But that is literally part of the sport, is injuries do happen. You hope and pray as a fan. You hope and pray, obviously, as individual players and teams, that your best players will be there. But this is kind of what it is. We get lucky and we forget how lucky guys are and how lucky we are as fans to witness healthy players. You know, for us to have witnessed, for those who did, 6 championships of Michael Jordan, seeing him at full strength, maybe outside of the flu game in Utah, you know, that is really something special. To see Steph Curry in 6 championships and win 4 is really quite impressive. To see LeBron James play, you know, 20 plus seasons, to see him still being at, you know, in the top 20 guys, the top 10 or 12 guys in the NBA, both in the regular season and the playoffs, to be that high on the list for a guy who's 39 years old is really remarkable. But who knows what will happen? You know, Anthony Davis was injured just a couple of seasons, 2 or 3 seasons ago, and the Lakers got knocked out early. In the 2019 season, when the Raptors won the chip, the Lakers were poised about halfway through the season to be a team in fighting for like a 7 or 8 seed. And LeBron James got injured. And then, of course, they trade a whole bunch of players for Anthony Davis, and then they're able to win it, but in the bubble. No one expected that. No one predicted that. But it's how it goes, right? Whether it's physical health or mental health, we've seen players struggle. You know, Paul George has been open and honest about that. We know Pascal Siakam's mental health struggles specifically in that bubble season. And, you know, that's not something people choose, but it does impact the game. And that's part of sport, who is available. So it'll be fascinating to watch these playoffs, knowing how many teams really are quite fragile. And teams who are right up near the top. You know, we've seen seasons like last year where Giannis Antetokounmpo misses a few games. If Giannis is not healthy, the Bucks are not winning even one playoff series. They're really not. And the same could be said for so many of the Eastern Conference teams. Like maybe the Celtics have a little bit of flexibility, especially in the first round. But then again, depends who they play in the first round. But the Celtics could go a series, you know, potentially. They could play without Jaylen Brown or even Jason Tatum. and be able to play, let's say, the Orlando Magic, if the Magic, who are only a game up of the Pacers, Sixers, and Heat, if they were to fall down to the eighth seed and play the Celtics in the first round, you could see that, or you could imagine the Celtics winning a series without one of their starters or stars, getting through that series and going to the second round. But you couldn't imagine, let's say, a Thunder team without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander being able to beat anyone in the West that they face. And yet, if they're fully healthy, could be quite dangerous to pretty much any team in the West, except for maybe the Nuggets, although they don't seem to match up against a very big Lakers team either. But I think they'll be quite tough. They've been consistent all year. So it will be fascinating. It will be fascinating. And this is probably, and maybe I said this last year, and so I sound like a broken record, but this could be. I'll say that emphatically again this year if I said it last year. This could be the year of the greatest parity. This could be the most unpredictable playoff in NBA history. And that's fun. That's exciting. I don't know how or if the NBA will want to put pressure on the referees to call the game certain ways. I don't know if the NBA will be pushing, Lakers, Knicks, or Clippers versus maybe the Bucks or something like that. Celtics versus not, who knows what they might be pushing. But when you look at the records, when you look at the rosters, it's easy to say that almost anything could happen in both conferences. Even though the favorites are the Celtics coming out of the East and the Nuggets coming out of the West. Very good stuff. On a Toronto Raptors note, saw a picture yesterday of Scottie Barnes' swollen hand post-surgery. We wish him the speediest recovery and a really smart recovery. There's no reason to rush back. There's no reason to push things in the hand. Take all the time you need, Scotty. Same goes for Chris Boucher. We don't know if he'll ever play another game with the Toronto Raptors, but we want him healthy because I hope that even if he doesn't play for the Toronto Raptors, that he will find a team that he can, play for in, at a veteran's minimum, which is $5 or $6 million. Not a bad way to work a job, not a bad income. Jakob Poeltl, another guy who had surgery on his hand. We wish him a great and full recovery, and we'll see him in a Toronto Raptors uniform next year, most likely. As the Raptors begin to look toward the offseason and look toward the draft, look toward free agency, and of course, training camp next season, we wish the 905 all the best and all the health as they possibly make a playoff run in the G League. And, we wish Masai and Bobby all the best of luck as they continue to rebuild on this new foundation for a team. And for me personally, I wish Darko Rakovic all the best in his preparations as he continues to coach through the last 17 games of the season with a young group. And he begins to strategize, focus, prepare for next season when he has a group that is known for next year and who he and I think the fan base should be excited about for next season as well. All right, y'all. I'm going to call it a pod there. Hope you're well. Mad love to all y'all, wherever you are. And we say peace in the Middle East, peace in Palestine, freedom to the Palestinian people, peace in Israel. And hopefully that is something that can happen soon, that a ceasefire can happen well before the playoffs, and people can find freedom and healing and family members real soon, real soon. All right. And happy Ramadan to all those that are observing Ramadan, celebrating Ramadan. Shout out to my man Mo, who's also not just a Raptors fan, but also an Arsenal fan. He is observing Ramadan and missed him yesterday at the pub when we were watching the Gunners game. But yeah, everyone who's observing and celebrating this very important season to the Muslim community, a great and healthy Ramadan to you. All right, y'all, we'll end it there. Peace. I don't do dream, boy, I'm on your fucking